1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily am as absent in the body, but present in spirit, hath judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye have gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan unto the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Wherefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we study the Scriptures, help us, Lord, to gain a good understanding. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us just to be able to leave this subject tonight as we move on, but to have a Bible-based mental approach to this, Lord, so that we would have instruction. I pray, Lord, that you would help our young people, help our married couples. Lord, the tempter is that as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He will promise everything and deliver nothing. Many a family, many a marriage, many a young person has wrecked their lives over the lives of Satan. I would pray, Lord, that you would help our young people as they hear these things to have a renewed commitment, a renewed determination to be morally pure. Our couples, Lord, to be morally pure. I would pray, God, for each and every one, Lord, that we would guard against this because, Lord, of the intense damage that it does to the name of Christ, to the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that it would, as the Scripture said, not be once named among us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Now I'll review quickly, and I'm not going to spend but maybe the first 2 or 3 minutes on review. Last week, I would ask, if you didn't get to be here last week, I would really encourage you to listen to last week's message, then partner it with this week's message so that you can have a good understanding. I'm going to just skim through what we gave you in introduction, the first handful of verses, and we'll pick up and we'll finish out the chapter. First one gave us, and I think presented to us, the shame of fornication within the church. This had become something that was reported commonly. That bothers me. It ought to bother you. Reported commonly. That ought to bother you. It ought to bother you that we hear these type of stories. I'm not shocked when they come out of flesh-based churches, charismatic churches, but it bothers me when these stories are bandied about and become common amongst independent fundamental Baptist churches. It not to be. It had become commonly reported. Now, Ephesians 5, 2 and 3, let me read that again. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So this is not something that should be reported commonly. It should not be something that we've surrendered to. As I mentioned last week, I've literally talked to youth pastors that have surrendered to it. They act as if it's just something that comes with this culture. It's something that is going to happen in the lives of the majority of the young people in their youth group, and they spend most of their time on damage control instead of church discipline. They're not handling it right. They're not making a big enough deal about it. They're winking at it. They're running end-arounds. They're excusing it. And you know what? Because of that, it spreads like leaven. It ought to be handled properly. Okay? Now, we see, and I want to just remind you again, a general definition of fornication. Purity, let me give you 3 points. Purity before marriage, faithfulness in marriage, obedience after marriage. Purity before marriage, faithfulness in marriage, obedience after marriage. It's amazing the things that are becoming commonly reported in Baptist churches. Incest, child molestation, adultery, premarital immorality in youth groups, homosexuality, wife swapping. As churches become more and more carnal, the result is more and more corruption. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And so, remember this. Remember the sternness of the warning here. Now, verses 2 through 8, God begins to deal with the church and rebuke them concerning the fact that they have not dealt with this. He accuses them in verse 2 of being puffed up. In their haughtiness and pride, they have usurped God's rightful position as the only one who can determine right from wrong. They haven't dealt with it because you know what they're saying? They're saying, well, it's not that big of a deal. Well, God says it is a big deal. I don't think it's all that bad. God says it's wicked. It's wrong. And they become proud, puffed up, as if they have a right to rewrite the rule book about what's really bad and what's not. And let me say this, folks. I'm going to encourage you. I'm just reading through the book of Proverbs in my daily Bible reading. And so I'm reading these things. They're jumping off the page at me. I'm telling you what, we need to bring before our young people more than we do what the book of Proverbs says are long-term consequences of immorality. Long-term, this is not some little, oh, well, it's just like lying. No, it's not. It's just like, no, it's not. You do not see the long-term, earthly consequences that's attached, that damages a person long-term. You do not see these type of warnings attached like you do when it comes to sin, a moral sins of the flesh. This is not, listen, kids, listen, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the stinking movies say. I don't care what the sitcom says. I don't care what Hollywood's trying to. You want to mess your life up. You want to deal with long-term consequences. You go ahead and act as if it doesn't matter how you behave before marriage, in marriage, or after marriage. You know what? God's a forgiving God. We'll just do our own thing and get right later. And you know what? Everything will be great. You better wake up. You better read your Bible. Okay? Now, is God a forgiving God? Yes. Can God cleanse and give second chance? Yes. Absolutely. Thank God. But I'm telling you, it's not a little thing. It's not a light thing. So they were puffed up. They failed to mourn, verse 2 says. There should have been grief over this, a godly sorrow that this was going on in the assembly. Instead, they ignored it and treated it, the man who was involved, as if he was doing nothing wrong. What should they have done, preacher? They should have put him away out of the assembly. That's what the verse says here. Now, we taught last week. We went to Matthew. I'm going to have to get something to drink if somebody can get me something, all right? A Mountain Dew would be great. Matthew... No, just some water. Brother Jeff, could you take care of that for me? Someone get that for me. Thank you. They should have exercised church discipline. Now, I'm not going to go back and reteach it because we went in depth. Matthew 18, 12 through 20. I'm not saying when this happens, you know what? We have a public lynching the next service. I'm not saying we have a public stone. I'm saying that privately, this ought to be dealt with. If that person will not allow it to be dealt with privately, then semi-privately, you bring Christians who are veteran Christians that have had strong influence in this person's life, and you bring them with you and appeal to them to get this right in their life. If that is still stubbornly ignored and they insist in living on in their sinfulness, then you know what the Bible says, that they are to be publicly dealt with in the church by the assembly, and they are to be put out of the assembly. Put out of the assembly. Now, folks, this isn't something to be winked at. This isn't something to be swept under the rug, hidden. This isn't something to be accepted. Young people, if you think, now listen to me, that you're going to start living an immoral life and you're going to walk in that door and your preacher's just going to smile at you, shake your hand, treat you like nothing's wrong, you're kidding yourself. Because there is something wrong. There is something wrong. And it's a sin that God is very specific about in this portion of Scripture. He rebukes the assembly for not dealing with it properly, and so it should be dealt with. Instead of following Christ's teachings, they simply tolerated it or ignored it, and by doing so, they were encouraging life behavior. Now, I mentioned last week, folks, you may think that I'm being too hard, but I promise you I've spent my life going through proper church discipline and seeking out people, both privately, semi-privately, and a lot of times in that process, being able to salvage people. I'm all for salvaging people. I'm all for rescuing people. I'm all for seeing people get right and brought back into good fellowship. This isn't designed so we can destroy people. Matter of fact, just the opposite is true. This entire discipline process, even if it has to be carried out to the third step, is designed to reclaim that individual. You're not going to help that individual by okaying their sin. You're not going to help that individual by acting like it's not a big deal. Matter of fact, you'll do just the opposite. It'll begin to spread in the assembly, and people will not live in fear of that. Man, if I do this, something is going to happen big time in our church. Yes, and it should. Yes, and it should. And so keep all of those things in balance. Now, in verse 3, Paul states that he is not even there in body. But even from where he was, it was obvious what should have been done. Verse 3, for verily as absent the body but present spirit have judged already, as though I were present concerning them hath so done this deed. Well, if you had all of the if you knew all the circumstances, no. Paul said, you know what, I know enough. Here's a man that is carrying on an affair with his stepmother. I don't need to know anything else. I don't care to know anything else. It's going on. You're not doing anything about it. That's all. But if you knew... No, I don't need to know the circumstances. But if you knew the guy, I don't need to know the guy. But if you understood that this lady's husband, she did... I don't care. That's hard. Good. Let's get hard right here. Let's stand firm right here. There is not a good enough excuse in the world not to be moral before marriage, faithful during marriage, and obedient after marriage. Let's stop walking around with the exception basket. These are all the exception to the rules, preacher. No, but God doesn't have any exception to the rules when it comes to this. God is very insistent that His children be morally pure, that it should not be once named among you. Not once should it be named in the assembly. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I would pray to God that in the next 25, 30, 40, 50, how many years this church goes on for Jesus comes, that nothing like this would ever again ever be named in the assembly at Lutzville Baptist Church. I plead with you young people just to decide that, you know what, you're going to follow what the Bible says to do when it comes to what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do prior to marriage. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I don't care who's done what. I don't care what story. No, I'm going to be pure all the way. All the way. All the way. No question about it. And by the way, when we get over to chapter 7, the Bible's going to say, you know what? In order to avoid this from happening in your life, let me give you some things to consider. Listen, we're not off base. Too many churches are saying, yeah, well, they're not supposed to do that, but there's nothing wrong with this, 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 and this. No, Paul says, in order to avoid fornication, you know what you do? You eliminate this, 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 and this. Eliminate the steps that lead to it, and you won't have to worry about the problem. Now, when we get to chapter 7, we're going to hit some reset buttons once again, and the preacher's going to preach it once again, and I'm probably going to be in some of your lives, a voice crying in the wilderness, but you know what? I've watched too many disasters to back off this. You understand, I'm 23 now. Yeah, if you're 23 and single, you know what? You need this probably more than a 16-year-old does. This whole idea that the minute you're out of high school, you're no longer in the school or the youth group, that you can just start breaking all the rules, running around, dating in the same car, crossing lines that you shouldn't cross, and that you're never going to have a problem, you're just fooling yourself. My Bible says, now concerning the things thereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now let me tell you what that means in the Greek. It means you keep your stinking hands off of her till you're married to her. That's old-fashioned. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Good. Good. I hope so. Good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Amen. You don't mean, yeah, I do. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, but we're engaged, yeah. I mean it all. Yeah, I'm not going to give an inch on it. You parents want to give on this? Give on. You younger generation coming up want to rewrite that verse? Rewrite it. But I'm not giving an inch on it. I'm not going to give an inch on it. Do right. Practice restraint. Do it proper. It'll pay dividends in your married life. It will pay dividends in your married life. So that's what it's talking about. It's talking about, listen, the rules aren't just youth group rules. They're Bible rules. It's not just school rules. It's Bible rules. There's a reason we do this and have these standards and draw these lines. And so there we go. All right. I just want to state that. This pulpit's not going to change on this. This preacher's not going to give on this. Now, I can't control. I'm not there to control your life, dictate. I'm just going to tell you, don't expect me to wink at it. Don't expect me to approve it. Don't expect me to be happy about it. You say, well, we did all right. Yeah, I wonder who you are an example to that's coming up behind you that'll get themselves in the same situation, and they'll say, yeah, well, so-and-so did it, but they won't be all right. And you're going to answer for that. Okay? So you better think ahead. All right? Why not just go the extra mile? Why not just, without question, why not just do right all the way right? Amen. So I hope that'll help you. Now, in verse number 4, what was to be done? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. Man, all of a sudden he's invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invokes the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let me tell you something. In the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the next time you're assembled, this is what is what to happen. Verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now what he's saying there is, church, you've winked at this long enough. It's going on. I'm not talking about someone who used to come here that left the assembly. They no longer attend here and they're out living immorally. I'm talking about someone that walks in the door day in and day out, attends, and everybody treats them as if there's nothing going on. That's what it's talking about here. Now he says this, your glory is not good. Know you not the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And I think what he's trying to say here is, folks, listen, it's not just about this one guy in this one situation. It's about the future of your church. It's about the future of your young people. You go soft on this, on morals, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to open up Pandora's box in your church. And I've watched it happen in churches. All of a sudden, people begin to drop these standards. And next thing you know what? I had a preacher tell me. He said, I had a preacher tell me, cook a church. He said, once he got into the inner workings of that church, was there about 6 months. He said he had somebody that used to work with the teenagers say, it's probably been 20 years since we've had a young person marry as a virgin in this church. I'm not talking about heathen young people. I'm talking about Christian young people. Young people that say they're saved. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. It happened the first time and everybody said, oh, well. It happened the second time. Oh, you know, that's okay. We do the best we can. Third time, again. Then it happens in the marriage couple. Oh, well. You know what? I might lose that tithe check. I better not say anything about it. Well, if I say anything, then that maybe what? They got friends and that whole group might leave. And all of a sudden, everybody goes soft on this stuff, and pretty soon, you know what? It's almost accepted. And that's a shame. It's a wicked shame. You see, now again, am I talking? No. When we somebody falls into sin, somebody commits this thing, you know what? We're going to follow the Bible, steps of Bible discipline. We're going to try to salvage them. We're going to try to help them. We're going to try to reclaim them. We're going to try to restore them. But if they want to get stubborn about it, you know what? I'll walk to the pulpit and say their name in a business meeting, and we'll vote them out. Why? Because you don't like them? No, because I love them. Because of the best chance I have to reclaim them. Listen, remember what I said last week. A sheep will miss the fold. A sheep will miss the fold. Now, a wolf won't, a goat won't, but a sheep will miss the fold. And so it'll help. It'll help. I want some of you parents to think about some things because, you know what, I pray to God you never have to face any of this. But you better determine now what you're going to do, not in the face of it. You better decide principles when the kids are this big so that if anything happens when they're this big, you don't have to decide then what you're going to do. There's too many parents moving to the pig pen with the prodigal. There's too many parents that's moving to the pig pen with the prodigal. You're never going to get them to come back if you don't give them some place to come back to. Too many, I'm telling you, I'm so discouraged about this. The average teenager starts falling into sin, struggling, backsliding, start getting the moral problems. The more times than not, what you will see, and it's a shame, but I'm telling you the truth, more times than not, what you'll see is parents defend them, play the blame game, and leave the church with them to go somewhere else where that sin's okay in another church. But they are signing the death warrant of every other child in that home. Spiritual death warrant. Mercy sakes alive. I'm trying to help some of you that are just now dealing with your first teenager. You ought to listen to this preacher. Okay? Rebellion's not excusable. I don't care if they have the same last name as you. You need to deal with it. Okay? Be careful. Be careful that you're not manipulated by your teenagers. Okay? Next thing you know, you're going to be standing with them and against the Word of God. You stand with the Word of God and let them know that without a doubt, this is where we are. This is where we stand. By the way, it wouldn't hurt for you to stand with your preacher. Since I have to be standing with the Word of God, you might just want to stand right by your preacher on this. Okay? All right? Okay, let's move on. Now, what happened? This man was to be surrendered, turned over to Satan for the destruction, which means the punishment of the flesh. This, you look up this word, it's not annihilation. It's not intended to annihilate them, it's intended to recover them. If his flesh is required to suffer, it just might cause him to repent so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this must be done or it will begin to spread throughout the church. Immorality is a leaven of corruption that if ignored or tolerated will soon be seen as acceptable in the church house. Instead of following Christ's teachings, they simply tolerated, ignored it. By doing so, they were encouraging like behavior. Verse 7, the command is very specific. Purge out the old leaven. This creates a new lump that is called out of the world to be unleavened. Let me have you go over to Titus chapter 2, and I know we quote it all the time. Hold your place here. But I want to just remind us of this. Man, I'll tell you what, and I know that you're on board, but I really do. But it's not that my frustration, I want you to understand, my frustration is not at necessarily the people at Bloodfield Baptist Church. It's what I'm seeing all across our country in good churches. It's what I'm hearing people say that I just want to say, what? It's the surrender mode that we've accepted. I don't believe in surrendering this. We have no right to surrender this. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's not one teenager in this room that's saved that has any right to do anything other than that. You do not have a right to do anything but that. You should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Hey, we're supposed to stand out, heads and shoulders, completely opposite, light as light as the darkness in this matter of morality. Let the world laugh. Let the world say whatever they want. There ought not to be any question about this in the church house. No question. No question about it. No question about it. Not even the appearance of evil. No question about it. We got to go all the way over, make sure we're above board in all manners when it comes to this. Okay? Now, let's look at verse number 9 and we'll go down to the end of the chapter and finish up here and then we'll go get some cake. Amen? Verse number 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, what Paul's going to deal with in verse 9 all the way down is the criticism that he's already receiving. Remember there's this group that he really never names very specifically, but he always alludes to. There are people in Corinth that have gained leadership positions that is tearing down everything that Paul tried to teach. Now notice this, what he says. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now here's the immediate reaction. Oh, what's he saying? We're not supposed to have anything to do with them because they're involved in fornication. We're not supposed to have anything to do with it. Well, I guess we ought to all stop going to Walmart because, you know what, there's people that are in Walmart. I suppose we ought to stop going to work because there's guys at my work that live this. You know what, that's called ridiculous is what it's called. What you're doing is you're talking about a lost world and you're trying to equate it to the congregation of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what, now think about that when I say that and think whether or not you think that's being said. Notice that. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or sorcerers, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. He said, listen, I'm not talking about you going to work with them or going to the same store with them. He's not talking about out there, even though it's just as wrong out there. What he's saying is this, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. So he's very specific. It's amazing when people want to defend something, how they come way over here with ridiculous antidotes that have nothing to do with the present situation and act like we're being extreme. No, I'm going to go to Walmart and I'm going to go to work. Some of you men have to go to work and you have to deal with this in the world. But you know what? When we walk in here, it's a whole different deal. Somebody walks in and says, I'm a brother. I'm a Christian. By the way, here's my living girlfriend. Excuse me? Excuse me? Really? Okay. Fornicator, covetous, adulterer, railer, drunkard, or extortioner, with such, notice this, and one, know not to eat. Now, I told you a little while ago, you know what I'll do? I'll go try to salvage them. But you know what? There's too many of them that think, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to go be their buddy. I'm not going to see them to be their buddy. I'm going to see them to help them turn to God and get right with God. Okay. You know, we just think that the way you fix everything is just pour on the sweetness and the sugar and the, well, maybe if we take them out to eat. Well, you're not supposed to do that. The Bible says you're not supposed to sit down and eat with them. I'm not there to enjoy a meal with them. I'm there to confront them with some things. Why? For the purpose of restoration. Galatians 6:1. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. If a brother be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, that's my job. My job, no, come on over the house. I'm not sneaking up on you. I'm going to say, you know what, me and you need to get together. We need to talk about some things. And so it needs to be dealt with. Now, verse 12, and what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? And he says, but them that are without, God judge. He said, listen, all these crazy parallels you're trying to talk about lost people, God judges them. But you know what? In the church house, God expects us to judge these situations. Therefore, very plain, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Therefore, now, I don't know how you get any plainer than that. You know what God says? That's wicked. You know what he says? If they're unrepentant, you put them away. You put them out of the church. No, sorry. They don't get to carry on into their fornication and come in and everybody treat them as if there's nothing going on. It's all right. Hey, you know what? God bless. Well, we just got to love people. Yeah, and if you love people, you'll follow the scriptures. If you love people, you'll want to help them get out of their sin so they can once again get into the blessing of God. Because Hebrews 12:1 promises us, or 14:1 promises us, that God will judge fornicators and adulterers. He will judge them. So my best way of showing them love is to do the right thing. Now look up here and we're done. I want to talk to our young people a minute. That means, listen to me, I don't know who you interact with. I don't know who you run around with. I don't know who you go out to eat with. But if there's some other young person that used to come to this church or goes to another church, and they're involved in this nonsense, and you know it, and you're still going out and hanging around with them, you are breaking the commands of Almighty God. You're not considering yourself, because you know what? You could be also tempted. I'm saying, you know what? You are not being a friend by doing that kind of a thing. Well, their preacher and their church turns against them, and I'm going to go, no, you're not. You're disobeying the Bible, and you're interfering with what that church is trying to do to get them back to the point where they'll repent and get right with God. And so, listen, we have to follow the Scripture. I got a better plan. No, you don't. No, you don't. There is no better plan than this. If there was a better way to do it, I think God would have put it in the Scriptures. Now, let me tell you how we don't have to worry about this. We'll never have to go back to this chapter. We'll never have to worry about any of this. Let's do right at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's do right. Let's do right. Let's do right. Let's do right. I don't want to deal with this. Anybody here want to deal with this? Does this sound like fun? This isn't fun. This is a heartbreak. This is a heartache. This is devastating to a church family. This causes us to mourn and grieve. I don't want to deal with this. Can I say this as a preacher? I don't want to deal with this. I will if I have to, but I don't want to deal with it. Young people, do right. Do right. Live right. Live clean. Follow Bible principles when it comes to courtship. Stop dating like the heathen. Stop pawing all over each other like the heathen. Stop curling your lip and making your sarcastic, scornful statements about old-fashioned standards and convictions. Listen, if you don't want to fall off here, then don't stand here an inch away from falling off. Okay? You don't want to fall off the roof, then don't climb up there and walk up and down the front edge of it. Good strong wind comes along, you're going to fall. You want to keep from falling off the roof, let me give you a hint. Stay on the ground. Oh, this is deep stuff, man. Deep stuff. Deep stuff we teach here. Well, there's nothing wrong. You're on one rung of the back ladder. Two rungs later, oh, there's nothing wrong. Then you're up on top, there's nothing wrong. Then you're jumping up on down, oh, there's nothing wrong. And later on when you fall, well, wonder how that happened. Well, I know how it happened. It happened when they got on the stupid first step of the ladder when it happened. So see, I'd rather stand there and preach against the ladder than preach against the roof. Okay? And we're going to find that that's true. People look at, oh, those are extra script biblical standards. Extra biblical standards. Bible doesn't say, well, how come the Bible says in order to avoid? How come the Bible says there are some things that you should not do because they're going to put you in a precarious situation, in a situation of increased temptation? Folks, don't underestimate the power of your flesh. Don't you underestimate the power. Oh, Brother Jerry, but I'm old. You know, a lot of old people mess up. Oh, we've been married 20 years. A lot of people married 20 years messed up. I mean, I heartbreak this. I'm going to tell you, it hardly a week goes by. Heartbreak this week. I mean, this preacher's not a close friend of mine. I've had some interaction with him. He's pastored for 18 years. He's got 4 children. And he just came out and confessed, carrying on a 6-month relationship with a woman in his church. Resigned his church. They're in counseling. They're trying to salvage things. I believe he is taking the steps toward repentance and restoration. But you know what happened? You play with fire. You just say, well, you know what? I'm spiritual enough that I can handle this. But, well, I know that this probably isn't real wise, but you know what? I'm strong. Next thing you know what? You're another casualty. And Satan is out in the front yard doing the jig, and the name of Christ is run through the mud. Another church has to go through turmoil. A bunch of young people, again, are all of a sudden disillusioned because the preacher they thought that was their preacher that preached all these things was behind the scenes doing this. And a bunch of mess is there. Just a mess. And folks, you know what? It's not supposed to be once named among us. It's almost like a bunch of folks are getting together and say, how can we diminish this slightly? No. That's not the plan. It's how can we completely eliminate it? Completely eliminate it. And if you'll study the Scriptures, if you will listen to what your preacher preaches on this subject, you have a great game plan in place in this church to get you there the right way. And the ones that don't make it are the ones that begin to scoff and scorn at those things. I'm not saying this because I want to be right. I'm just tired of you proving that I am. Why don't you, well, I just want to be different. Okay, then be different in this world. You know what different means in this world? It means keeping your hands off each other. It means being above board. It means staying pure. It means walking down the aisle in a white dress and taking the man who's going to be your husband's hand for the first time right there. It means coming up here and kissing for the first time and people believing that it's your first kiss. Amen. We'll just stop right there. Amen. Well, they didn't look like they knew what they were doing. Well, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried a little bit of the one that looks well practiced. Amen. Amen. I'm fighting for the future of the young people in this church. And man, I need some adults to get on board with me on this. I need some parents to get on board with me. I do. I need you to get on board with me on this. I need some young couples to decide. You know what? You say, well, we didn't do it that way. Well, you know what? Why don't you be sorry for it for a change instead of defending it? Come on. How do you do? You want to get to the nitty-gritty? You want to talk about all of it? Come on. Let's talk about how you really did. And come on. If you're going to throw mud at what I did, let's look at what you did. You really want to put what you did under a microscope? You want to be truthful, or you just want to make your little sarcastic remarks? We need some young ladies to come down here and say, you know what? I want to be able to sit up here and say they've done it right. A parent ought to be able to sit out there and say what they've done right. And made us proud. They did it the way they should have done it. Good night. You can't wait a few years. You can't wait a little while. Now, if you're going to be married 50 years, got 50 years to make up for waiting. Come on. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use what I'm saying, Lord. The community's not going to find Jesus, not going to believe a church where there's a bunch of fornication going on. Lost people aren't going to want to come to a church and listen to a message in a place where there's a bunch of nonsense going on. Other teenagers aren't going to get saved when they drive home late on a Friday night and see Mr. and Mrs. Christian school kids' vehicle parked down the lane. I pray, God, we just find Jesus. I pray, Lord, in this area of our life we would do right. I pray, God, that we could have a bunch of young people with a really, really sweet marriage with not a whole bunch of baggage and regrets and I wish I hadn't of. And God, I pray, Lord, please, I pray that you'd help protect our church, protect this preacher, protect every married couple. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to stay far away from this, to not play any games or dabble in any nonsense. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help out every single one of us in here to live scared and live on our knees and understand that the stories we hear about someone else could be us if we're not extremely, extremely careful and reliant on the Holy Spirit for help. Lord, I pray that would be some young people just say, you know what, I'm going to do things right. I pray there'd be some parents, Lord, would bend their knee at an altar and say, you know what, my preacher's fighting for the life of my children. It's about time I stood beside him and fought with him. God, I pray that you'd use what we've learned here in this chapter, Lord, and fortify this church against, Lord, this type of destruction, this damaging sin. Bless what we've taught tonight in Jesus' name.